The advice in this podcast is intended as a general guide and does not cover any individual or corporate circumstances. Kyo Accountancy Group strongly recommend that formal tax advice be obtained before any steps are taken by individuals or corporates that may have a tax effect.
Hi everyone, this is Emily Keogh here, Partner and Director of Keogh Accountancy Group, and I'm joined today by Keith O'Rourke, who heads up our tax department. And today we're going to talk a bit about PRSI.
PRSI is obviously really important because you need to keep your PRSI record up, because your PRSI record is what entitles you to job seekers benefit or your state old age pension.
And social welfare payments, basically.
Yeah, essentially all your social welfare payments.
And when you retire at 66 or 68, your state pension.
Exactly that, yeah. And as well as that, though, there's other entitlements. So you can get €15 off getting your teeth cleaned once a year. You can get an annual dental checkup. There are other benefits along to keeping your PRSI record
and
intact.
People probably forget that, actually, because they probably just think of their pensions and their social welfare payments, etc., and not think of what you just mentioned there.
Yeah, which it's not a whole lot in terms of money, but I suppose every little counts.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's really important to keep your PRSI record up. And a lot of people if you were getting paid cash in hand or anything like that, then that you're not going to get your PRSI entitlements. You can write away to get your PRSI record. There's an address of welfare in Bundoran who they will send you out all your contributions that you've paid over the last since you were 16. And you can check your record. It's fairly easy to do. It costs €3, I think. And you send it away and you get it back in a week. It can be very important to keep your record intact, because if you don't, then you can easily find yourself where you get to retirement age and you've worked cash in hand and you haven't enough contributions, and it turns out that your state pension that you think should be, say, the equivalent of €230 today is actually about €130 or €150. I've seen that before. So it's very important to make sure that your contributions are being paid, and that's your employer's responsibility to make sure that they're being paid.
And is it a thing that you need 52 separate contributions a year, or say if you were out of a job for 3 months, how does that work?
So there's two types of contributions. There's paid and credited contributions. So it can happen that if you work for 3 months of the year or 4 months of the year, you might have 14 or 15 paid contributions in that year. But then you may also have 38 credited contributions to get your 52 contributions. So one contribution is essentially equivalent to 1 week working.
Yeah, okay.
And 52 contributions means that you've had a full PRSI record for the year.
And can you make voluntary contributions if you miss a year or if you miss a few weeks? Or
exactly that, yeah. So there's a special collection system. There's a department in welfare. Really nice people, again, in Bundoran, so you can ring them up. And they will help you. They'll send you out a form. It's all very basic details: name, address, PRSI number. You can buy back 4 years.
Okay.
So if it was a thing you were working for cash on the buildings or something like that for 3 or 4 years, you can actually buy back those contributions. And those contributions will cost you a minimum of €500 per year. But those 4 years contributions, which would be 208 credits, may be the difference between a pension of €200 and a pension of €230. So it could cost you €2,000 for €30 per week for life. And which if you live to be, you know, if you live to be an older age, if you live into your 80s or even into your early 90s, that's a lot of money. So it's certainly an investment that's worth doing.
And if you are self-employed and you're making losses,
yes.
So I think you have a minimum profit of 5,000, is it, to pay PRSI?
Correct, yeah. But you can opt in, so you can opt into the system, so you can pay PRSI even though you're not required to.
So I suppose it's careful that if you're self-employed and if you are filing returns and you notice that you're not paying any PRSI, it's very important that you check to see if you are, and if you're not, to follow up with that.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's 2022 now. So you can't buy back contributions that were not made for you in 2015 or 2016. It's too late. So you can only go back 4 years. So it's very important that you keep up to date. So at least once every 4 years, check your record, make sure it's up to date, because it could cost you. It could cost you, especially if you're self-employed, it's very difficult. And it may be very difficult to go back and try and prove that you were even in the country at that time, because it could be, people are looking, it doesn't really matter till you're coming to make your pension application and they come back and say, oh, your pension is 150 euros a week. And you go, oh no, I worked all my life. I should have 230 euros. But then it turns out you didn't have the contributions and it's too late to go back and fix it now, and you can't go back and buy them. And that's something that can really affect you, you know, if you haven't got a private pension.
And you've planned for the state pension and all of a sudden you're not entitled to it.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, if your only income is the state pension, then if that state pension goes down by 80 or 90 or 100 euros a week, that's huge.
And you have to have consecutive years, or can they be sporadic?
So there's been three or four different systems for counting them. And I think there's another one coming in next year, I think. So there's essentially an average of 40 years working should get you a full pension. That's a reasonably current trend. That's a thread that's kind of gone through all of the different assessment systems. Now, there's a number of new things coming in the most recent set of criteria. So previously, if you were self-employed before 1988, I think it was, there was no peer, you never paid any PRSI. It was not a requirement. Nobody did it.
Okay.
So anyone who was a farmer in the 70s and 80s has no PRSI. So their pensions have been really affected. There's a new system where if you dropped out of the workplace to raise a family, you can actually get... So if you dropped out in, say, 1995, if you worked as a secretary or whatever from 1990 when you left school to 1995, and then you left to raise a family, mm-hmm, you can actually get PRSI contributions, credited PRSI contributions, from the date of birth of your oldest child to the 18th birthday of your youngest child.
Okay, and that's still relevant now, is it?
So 40, 50 years ago, kind of in the 70s, it was very common for women who got married in the public sector to actually leave the job. I don't know, were they not allowed to work, or but there was some restriction there that if you were married, you left your job. It was very, very much the done thing.
And I suppose as an employee, it's very important to ensure that your employer is paying your PRSI to revenue. How would an employee go about ensuring this?
So really, it should be outlined, your PRSI payment should be outlined in your payslip. So it should be fairly clear that amount is being deducted. Now, it's difficult to check that amount is actually being paid to welfare, because that's not so easy. So other than that, what you can do is you can check your contributions. So you can, in January every year, check your contributions. And if you haven't got 52 contributions, you know something strange is after happening. So you can go back to your employer and you can talk to welfare about how to rectify that. So you can either purchase your contributions back, which you shouldn't really have to do because your employer should have paid them. But if your employer is not paying them on your behalf, then they're actually in breach of law. And that's a separate issue altogether.
Another query is, if you're on maternity benefit or job seekers, do you still get your PRSI contribution?
Yeah, so you don't, while you're not actually paying PRSI, if your income wouldn't be high enough if you're on, say, job seekers benefit, to be paying PRSI. So in that situation, you would have credited contributions because you're getting money from the government, essentially. All of the DSP benefits, they're all credited contributions for a PRSI. So somebody could turn 18, could start on job seekers when they're 18, could be on job seekers until they're 65. So they would never have actually paid any PRSI, so they would have no paid contributions, but they would have 52 credited contributions for each and every year that they're on job seekers. So they would still be entitled to a full state pension when they turn 66 now, it'll be 68 soon.
Okay, that's good to know. There's different classes of PRSI. I suppose today we'll just focus on Class A and Class S, if you want to fill us in on how they're different or how they operate.
Sure. Well, Class A are your standard employee contributions, right? Everyone pays it. It's 4% of your wages and that's it. And as well as that, so that's your employee's PRSI. That comes out of your net wages. Then on top of that, your employer has to pay PRSI, which I think is about 11% now. That's employer's PRSI, which is totally separate. That's on top of your wages for the employer. So Class A is an employee and Class S is generally a director. So a director who owns more than 50%.
15%, isn't it, of a company?
Yeah, well, that's a proprietary director. But a director who owns more 50% or more of mm-hmm. a company is automatically on Class S.
Okay.
If you own more than 15% and less than 50%, you can apply to the scope section for a determination. This and for a PRSI determination. The PRSI determination essentially means that you can apply to be on Class S even though you don't automatically qualify. And the benefit for an employer of Class S PRSI is while you still have employee PRSI to be paid at 4%, there's no employer PRSI at 11%. So there's a 10% difference for your employer. And in order to qualify as Class S, you essentially need to prove to the scope department, if you're between 15 and 50% equity ownership in the company, then you would need to prove that you're running the business. So if you're over 50%, you're automatically deemed to be the
in control, or the owner of the business.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas if you're a 25% owner, there may be four or 25% owners of a business.
You're a bit minority and you actually don't have say in the running of the business in the day-to-day.
Exactly. If you prove that you were working in it in a managerial capacity and that you were essentially self-determining your own workday, then you could qualify for Class S PRSI, which would save 11% overall to your employer.
So if there's four shareholders in a company and they own 25% equally, does that mean that only one can qualify for Class S, or can they all qualify?
So if there's four 25% shareholders in a company, all four of them, if they're working in four different departments, or if they're determining their own day, all of them could qualify for Class S PRSI. So Class S is not a one and done kind of thing. There's not a one person qualifies. It's not like control or ownership of the business. It's if you're essentially your own boss. Whereas if there was four or 25% owners, one of them was a managing partner who essentially allocated all the work to three people who were vice partners and they had no control of their day, then in that situation, you could have four 25% owners, whereas only one of them might qualify, because only one of them is self-determining. Whereas if you had four branches in an office, if you had one person looking after advertising, one person looking after supplies, one person looking after admin, and one person looking after, say, HR, all four of those people, if they were 25%, they may qualify because they may run their own departments. The question is, are they in charge of their own destiny, if you know what I mean?
And at the end of it all, when you come to the pension age,
yeah,
is there a difference in rates between Class S and Class A?
A difference in rates in terms of the amount that's paid?
Yeah.
No, so your state pension all works out the same. So you still qualify. The maximum state pension is in around 230 euros a minute.
Okay. And Keith, what happens if you decide to move abroad for a year to Australia and you're not working in Ireland that year? How do you maintain your contributions in the year that you're absent?
So when you leave, essentially your PRSI is, you only pay PRSI in one country, okay? So they have national insurance in the UK, there's versions of PRSI in almost every country. So if you went to Australia for a year, mm-hmm. you could pay PRSI in Ireland for that year. And that would maintain continuity of your contributions towards your estate pension and all that sort of stuff. There's an application called an E101, which goes through welfare. And that is an application for you to remain on the Irish PRSI system. You can stay in the Irish PRSI system for up to 5 years when you leave. So if you were going to the UK, national insurance in the UK is in and around 13%. PRSI in Ireland is 4%.
Okay.
So you will save 9% of your wage if you remained on the Irish system. So even if you were emigrating to England, it would make sense for you to remain on the Irish PRSI system for 5 years, because you would save 9% in your pocket. So it's collected through the special collection system in welfare. It's an E101 application. If you Google it, you'll find the form. It's a fairly simple 4-page form. You fill it out, send it away to welfare, and then they send it to HMRC or wherever, or the DSP in the UK. And you're exempt from, if you're moving, say, to the UK, you would be exempt from national insurance, but you would have a PRSI liability in Ireland, and that would be collected separately from anything in the UK.
From anything in the UK, yeah.
Yeah. And that's through the special collection system.
That's really interesting, Keith. Mm-hmm. Really interesting point to know.
Yep.
Thanks a million, Keith, for joining us today. And thank you all for listening. And if you would like further information, you can visit our website on www.accountancygalway.com.